It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, rolling on here on a Monday. Cofield and Company, Willie Ramirez is the company. Justin Watkins is in studio. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Offices in Reno, downtown Vegas, Vegas, and Henderson. Remember, in the north, you got to dial beyond the wall, right? You got to dial 775. Do you know that reference?
Yeah, of course, Game of Thrones.
Is his mic on?
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
There it is. Okay. Good. Are you watching House of the Dragon?
No.
Why not?
I didn't like the first season. I didn't think it
really?
Was good. No, I didn't like
it. Dragons are coming now.
I don't know.
Are you crazy?
I didn't like it. I thought the characters were not as well played. I thought the storyline was a little bit confusing to know where I'm at historically in this whole thing.
All right.
I don't know. I'm not in on that.
About 10 minutes, we're going to get the some of the text that we threw out with the question in the first hour about Willie's long drive coming up. He needs some TV series to kill some time. So last year you watched The Sopranos, so he was looking for something that's like 2, 3, 4 seasons, maybe for the ride out and back. We're talking like 30 hours of driving.
30 hours there.
Yeah, right, right. So
won't 60, be, won't, 60 total.
Won't be glued to the video, but want some stuff to help kill the time. All right, first of all, you were not killed. That's a good thing.
Yep.
He's back.
I made it.
You traveled to the Dominican, and I think we were talking about it off the air, like right into the teeth of a hurricane. So what the hell?
Yeah, it wasn't on the direct path. It was like, 15 miles south of the Dominican, maybe a little bit more than that. And I flew right in right when it was at its closest. And it reminded me of, remember when we had the the hurricane that was supposed to touch parts of Vegas, and all it did was like drizzle a little bit and, it was cloudy. Got some lightning and thunderstorms with it. Big, cool waves to see, but no real hurricane winds. They didn't have any problems landing the plane. They were okay. I don't think they canceled any flights.
All right.
But obviously, we weren't in the direct path. Jamaica was. Jamaica got hit real hard. I think the Caymans was part of the path as well after it depressed a little bit. But, my first time in a hurricane.
I'm glad you're safe. You had a good time?
Yeah, great time.
Good spot to go to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, I'd heard sort of safety issues about the Dominican Republic. I did not experience any of that. I thought it was fantastic.
We were just starting to build the rookie of the year discussion in the WNBA. Steve Kim was chiming in. What are the factors? Should the record matter? Making the playoffs, spot in the standings. Obviously, numbers are key. And both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are putting up pretty monumental numbers in given spots. Clark over the weekend, first rookie triple-double. And Reese has, 13 straight double-doubles? And she's, by the number, she's number one rebounder in the league now, right, Willie?
By one rebound over Asia.
So we'll have Willie go first, or check that. We'll have Justin go first, and Willie, what's more impressive?
I got to imagine it's a double-double streak just because it's never been done before. I mean, this isn't a rookie record. I mean, what Caitlin Clark did is, the first rookie to have a triple-double. Okay. Yeah, which is awesome. I actually think she's really starting – they're both starting to get acclimated to their teammates a little bit better. I think you're seeing, at least when I watch Caitlin Clark, that the players around her can anticipate her passes a little bit more than they used to at the beginning of the season because they're just so different than everybody else. And I think, the big criticism of Angel Reese was, she gets 11 rebounds a game, but 6 of them are off her own misses, or 7 of them are off her own misses. That's not what I've been seeing for the last couple games. It looks like
I don't even understand that whole thing. Like, why that would matter. Who cares?
Well, I mean –
If we're going to come back and then go, field goal percentage really counts here.
If you're not finishing, right? If you're not finishing and you're not getting, if you go get 2 rebounds and 3 misses and the ball goes the other way, I think it matters, right? You got to be a finisher as a big person. But at this point, I've watched 4 of her last games. I've watched probably five or six of the last Caitlin Clark games, and I haven't seen that. Specifically, the when the Sky came back and beat the Fever after being down 15 in the fourth, I saw the Sky rely on Reese and the Fever sort of shy away from Caitlin Clark. So right now, I mean, betting odds are Caitlin Clark's still a pretty heavy favorite, and Reese is number two for Rookie of the Year on plus money. If I was betting, I'd bet Reese.
Right, and that number's actually down. It was a lot heavier. She was like four, like minus 1,100, and I think it's dropped considerably. Steve just happened to mention, Steve Kim, you know, well, if they make the playoffs, you're talking about the worst team in the league. They got the number one pick for a reason. They actually didn't. They finished 10th, and there's a lottery, so they got the number one pick off the bubble draw. Chicago was the eighth seed and got into the playoffs last year. The thing about the Fever, if they make the playoff, like, they should have probably done better last year. Their returning scorer, who I'm working on a feature on for my site, is Kelsey Mitchell. She's back. Their defensive stopper off the bench, Lexi Hull, is back. Last year's Rookie of the Year, Aaliyah Boston, is back. Nalissa Smith, an all-star, is back. This is a team that had the foundation of being a playoff-caliber team that Caitlin Clark has sort of enhanced.
So do they have more talent coming into the season than the Sky did?
Than the Sky did.
So what the Sky are doing is more impressive. The lift up by Reese is more impressive than the lift up by Clark.
I think so because Kalia Copper, who's gone and went to Phoenix, has completely ignited that team offensively, along with Natasha Cloud being a two-way guard. So I feel as if the impact is being felt a little bit more it with Chicago. I think Angel Reese is more of an MVP to that team than Caitlin Clark is to her team. But what they're both doing is tremendously impressive. To Justin's point, the one thing I will say, I agree with him on the double-doubles, but where you were saying they're finally able to anticipate her passes, she also, if you watch the first couple of weeks of the season, the passes and the dimes she was trying to drop that she did in Iowa, she also was off. She had to get in tune with their nuances as well. She was misfiring some passes. I'm not putting it all on her, but there was some chemistry that had to be built on both ends. So I give Reese the nod right now for Rookie of the Year when we get to the break.
Bet it. There you go. WNBA experts is on Willie Ramirez is on Reese. Bet it.
I think Caitlin Clark's going to win it. I think she's playing. I think she's playing better with her team now, and her team's playing better.
Yeah.
Than the Sky are. I mean, they had an atrocious schedule out of the gates, unlike any other team in the WNBA. They start 1-7, 1-8, and now, you know, they're right in the thick of that seven spot. And
one game separates them.
Yeah, one game separates them right now.
Right. So it's going to be fantastic if it comes down to if the eight seed comes down to those two teams. It would be tremendous. What would be even better is if, for some reason, one of them goes on a run, because I believe it's the first two teams get the bye, right? So 3 through 8 or whatever it is, and they end up meeting. Could you imagine the ratings for a first-round series between the Fever and the Sky?
That'd be awesome.
Well, it's been awesome for the league. The entire league's been lifted up. I was telling Willie last week, I can't wait to see what the number is on the game for the All-Star game this year. It's an All-Star team against Team USA. So those who were snubbed, like Reese, but especially Clark, get to go against Team USA. Now, we also pointed last week, will they really go at them? Do you want to take someone out injury-wise? Do you think Agunwale will answer any questions about why she pulled out of the mix? Didn't she say something about it's political?
Ariko Ogunbowale, she already said there's no reason for her to talk. She already did.
Okay.
She already said.
There is a reason to talk because no one knows that. So on the big stage, I want the national media to concentrate on, like, hey, what does she think about Team USA?
Sure.
Let's go back to the origins of this thing where people were like, why is this team constructed like this?
Right. And
she's a veteran player who's averaging, what, 23 a game?
Yeah.
She should be on the team, and she was like, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah, I was talking to Coach Trammell the other night when Dallas was here, and I was telling her that as they were warming up, we were sitting together while they were warming up, and I was like, the two most lethal veterans right now are on the court warming up. If I were starting a franchise and I wanted the most dominant player in the world, Asia Wilson's down there, but if I wanted the most dangerous scorer that on any given night, that's who I want, it's Ariko Ogunbowale. She was warming up. But
And she's not on the Olympic team, and she chose not to be in consideration. Right.
She said she pulled out of the running.
That's tremendous.
I would have loved to ask her that. I just was focused on a feature I'm working on Odyssey Sims, who's a veteran, 11-year veteran for Dallas, so I was doing some other stuff. But you're right, and I think it will be asked. I think someone will bring it up.
Good. Right? I mean, you had a pretty good, not going to say impassioned, but a pretty good argument about the inconsistencies about how they chose the team.
Totally. I mean, the arguments they make against the people that they left off is all basketball related, but then on some of the people that are on, it's not basketball related. It's not. It's, you know, it's Lifetime Achievement Award.
Right.
It's
Diana Taurasi. Let's put it out
there.
Gold
medal sacking.
Diana Taurasi is on the team because she's never going to play again.
Right.
She's never going to play in the Olympics.
So
this is like her fifth one. So, and it's in Phoenix. So the All-Star weekend.
I thought we were trying to win it. Put the best team together.
It's not honorary awards. It's a farewell tour probably for Taurasi. I will agree with that. In terms of if we're talking about numbers. All right, now, if we're talking about capabilities, I'm not going to lie. DT has a better first step this year than she's had in the last couple of years. She does look like she took a sip from the fountain of youth. I don't know what she's taking, but let me get some of that before I walk in the gym.
Whoa.
But I'm not talking about PEDs. I'm saying she looks great this year.
At the same time, she's got four gold medals. How many gold medals do we have to give somebody? And then at the same time, speak out of both sides of her mouth and say, we're not putting these players on because they don't deserve it from a basketball standpoint. And then have, I think, two players, Brittany Griner, I don't know that deserves to be on the team either.
Okay, so should we tell LeBron, hey, maybe not, or KD, who's sitting out?
Are you going to compare LeBron James on the level he's playing at to Brittany Griner at times lumbering up and down the floor?
Yeah. No, I was actually going to compare it to DT because if we're going to put LeBron James in the men's game in the GOAT department, and Diana Taurasi has long been known as the GOAT, it's a GOAT conversation, and we're talking about representing the country in the men's and women's teams. So, yes, I'm comparing those roles. The roles of those players.
Right. But then just be honest about it. Then the team needs to be honest about it and say, no, this was not basketball related. This was completely political.
And
they didn't do that. They just lied to everybody.
Bottom line, if I were 39 or 40 and I had a chance to win a fifth gold and I'm looking down in the WNBA, I'm like, no one is ever going to do what I can do.
Right.
So I'm going to block Clark and Reese from winning five gold medals. USA!
What a
patriot!
And here's another reason why Justin and Errico Ogunbowale are right. Here's another reason why I think they may have done what they did. Where could Angel and Caitlin, we'll see a preview of the up-and-coming, where will they make their Olympic debuts?
Right.
2028 in Los Angeles, where the United States can go watch the new era of USA women's basketball.
You think they were thinking about that?
You don't, or are you being tongue-in-cheek smart?
No, I don't. I don't know if they
100%
think that. I don't know if they think
100%
that.
Think that.
Okay.
100% think that that was
they
part
certainly
of
will be.
They factor that
they'll
in.
They'll be invited to international competitions in between.
Yes, because they've been a part of it. Okay. So they've already – it's just at different levels, at junior levels.
So we're looking for more suggestions for Willie's Long Ride, 2-3-season-long TV series that, you know, on now, past could be 25 years ago. Finley Kia text line 702-364-1100. We got Breaking Bad suggestion. We got Better Call Saul. We got Succession on HBO. We got Yellow Jackets. So looking for more ideas. I have some. Justin has some. We got to get to a little competitive eating this hour. There's some cool stuff going on. So we'll react to that as well. Justin Watkins in studio with Cofield and Company. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Alerts.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, still looking for those show suggestions. 2-3 seasons long, binge. Willie taking a few weeks off, making a drive to the middle of the country, parts unknown. He needs some suggestions. Last year was Sopranos. Text line 702-364-1100. Just got Suits. Someone said watch Suits.
That is a good one.
That might be a winner. No, keep coming. Keep coming. All right. So we love TV on the show. We love talking about TV. It's one of my outlets to just chill a little bit, right, so I don't get in the car and then have to put on the clown wig and the nose to calm down. Hard Knocks off season is out. Hard Knocks Bears is coming up August 6th, but offseason will lead into that and cross over it. It's the Giants. I don't know if you caught up on it yet.
I did.
But there was a big deal made last week about how much and how open, or how much it was featured, the management talking about Saquon Barkley, kind of setting up what you know is going to be like, what? The Eagles got him?
But, I thought it was great.
I thought it was great, but now my worry is that it got so much attention in the New York media, them talking about Barkley incessantly, that now the Giants are going to come in and go, we got to tighten this up. We can't let all this stuff get out. Like, just let it be a solid reality show where we get some freaking content.
I don't get the sense that they're going to pull back. I mean, they seem to be pretty transparent on there, and I don't feel like they said anything too controversial.
I didn't either.
You know, like, history of injuries, 27 years old, data says after 27 they fall off at $12, $13, $14 million a year. It's not our primary need. They specifically said if somebody like the Eagles, they might do it. They got the money, and that's their need. We need to build our offensive line. You know, we have $40 million sunk into our quarterback, and we got to protect him first, and then we'll see what happens with the running back position and figure it out. You know.
So I have yet – Steve did give me a homework assignment last week, but I don't remember what season it was that I just got tuned out from Hard Knocks, and I haven't been able to tune back in. I am intrigued by this, the off-season one. I do want to check in and play catch-up, but I may save it for when I arrive at the upstate Michigan lake house that I'm going to, so I have stuff to stream, because
I think the off season's completely
cool,
different,
right?
And I think in some ways more intriguing, because I think the Giants personnel were transparent. If they weren't, it would have sucked.
Yeah,
but they were pretty open and honest in their evaluations of players, a bunch of whom they didn't get right.
I mean, like they didn't think they went out of bounds on the running back breakdown.
No,
like they're in most cases not worth that much. And right. The guys they were targeting were basically $2 and $3 million players.
Right. And I think they openly said Saquon Barkley's the best of the bunch. But they said there's an argument to be made for Josh Jacobs. You know, was this a one off? Is it because he missed camp? Okay. But we're not gonna be in the market for any of those guys.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with, basically they admitted, listen, right now we're kinda cooked.
Yep.
With Daniel Jones. That's reality.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're throwing themselves under the bus a little bit, but like, what are you going to do? You signed him. You have budget limitations when you got a $40 million questionable quarterback.
I wonder how honest they were with Daniel Jones about how honest they were on the show.
By the way, that's another part of it, because I heard some people like, oh, what about Daniel Jones' feelings? Like, who cares? I mean, it sucks that he tore an ACL. He didn't really get a fair shot last year to take that next step. But
I mean, they were, you know, hey, we got $40 million in this guy. We got 3 more years on the contract. It was always going to be a project. We got to see what happens this year, but we got to protect ourselves as a franchise. Three major injuries in 3 years is something that we need to look at and be concerned about. Maybe he comes in and kills it. That'd be great. But we can't be left with nothing after that. I thought it was great. I mean, I thought that I would love to see, and there's no way they would ever do it, but I would love to see, because they did talk about, you know, feelings of players and making sure, you know, we're not going to franchise them and try to trade them because it hurts everybody's feelings and all those things. I would love to hear VGK personnel do, because I think they're just so cutthroat. I don't think there's any feelings in the room, man. They're
not talking to your guy Kelly.
What would that show be called?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Ice Picks.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay. I think the Giants season is one of the most fascinating seasons from an organizational standpoint and what they need to do this year. He's not going to turn out to be a franchise quarterback that is worth this money. He's not going to be a top 10 guy. It's not going to happen. So as the season goes along, how do you approach this? Because I think if they get to the 8-game mark and they're like 1-7 or 2-6, I am keeping Daniel Jones in as long as I can.
But then
there's team morale. Like, if a guy really stinks.
Yeah, I mean, if he's performing like Zach, but he's not going to be Zach Wilson.
But it's hard, though, because in the New York area is filled with some of the dumbest, New Jersey as well, and whatever, tri-state, including Connecticut, is filled with some of the dumbest fans in all of football. It's just, they don't get it.
Yeah.
When you suck and you don't have a quarterback, you need to suck more.
Yeah.
And the Giants blew it last year in the middle of the season. They had a couple of moments, you know, where they played well. And then I still think that behind the scenes, when Tommy Cutlets was in against the Jets and they wouldn't throw the ball, I'm like, you got it, finally! You can't try to win! You're trying to get a pick in this quarterback-loaded draft. Lose!
That's my criticism of the Raiders every year. Yep. They, you know, they're the infamous, road. You know, was 8-8, 8-9, 9-8, 8-8. You know, it's like it's Jeff Fisher. It's Jeff Fisher all over again.
Justin, 10 or 11 wins is right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's probably not.
And, I mean, unless you're the Chiefs, is 10 wins going to turn into the Super Bowl? I mean, I'm not saying it's out of the question, but I don't know that they have the star power. They have that franchise quarterback or that game breaker that could turn a 10 or 11 win season into a reasonable expectation of a Super Bowl. Now, I get it. Like, Kansas City has won the Super Bowl twice with 11 wins both times, but they also were cruising along. They had already won a Super Bowl, and they were still – at 11 wins, the Super Bowl favorite or second?
How many episodes is this in now?
Just one.
Oh, just the it first just started. One. Yeah. It just started. Have they, because, well,
they'll probably get to Waller in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I would imagine they got to address the defense. I mean, I'm just sitting there looking, but I mean, they allowed the sixth most yards last year.
Oh, they did. It was a big part of it. That was a big part of their free agent offseason. Oh, they were like examining up and down the line. What are we going to do? And then you see a tease of how the Brian Burns deal got done, which is kind of amazing as well.
Yeah.
They're just hanging out at what, the Senior Bowl? And it's just casual conversation between the Giants GM, Shane, who goes way back with Dan Morgan, who's, you know, the president of the organization with the Panthers, and just like a flippant comment about, Burns?
Burns, two ones? Like, right, one and something?
You gotta watch it.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
It's much different, and maybe it's gonna happen down the road. Because it's the offseason, it's not gonna be so current player-driven.
Right.
And it's not gonna have that kind of the drama and the girlfriends and stuff. I don't think it will.
Yeah.
Maybe Jones Rehab will. But it's different than
maybe
regular
Darren Waller's divorce will.
You know what? Who knows? The Giants, that one's gonna be interesting because the Giants are a very conservative organization. And I don't know if they wanna, like, you know, play fast and loose with that whole thing.
I think the Burns thing was super fascinating because, I mean, the two guys who just had the conversation started in the league together 23 years ago, the same team, same staff, and they like their families are super tight. They vacation together every year.
Yeah.
Like that's, and, you know, but they're still doing business and they're still, you know, not letting everything go, you know, like, hey, you know, send me two first. Like, hey, Burns, and I don't know about that, but, you know, maybe something.
Maybe we'll get a little off season, maybe some dinners and stuff. Maybe some dinners, some North Jersey restaurants. That'd be nice. Speaking of that, we've got another mega meal in town that's with a challenge. Area 51's got a restaurant that's offering a giant burger called the Beast. King's Hawaiian bread loaf, 1 pound of bacon, 1 pound of American cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, pickles, and Thousand Island dressing, pound of fries. Oh, boy. Meal is free if completed.
So wait a
minute. If not, it's $88. So enjoy the burger, take the rest of it home.
2, 3, 4. So 5 pounds minimum because it's a 2 pound patty.
I missed the 2 pound patty, which is the burger part.
With
of it,
1 pound of everything, it's a 1 pound of bacon. 1 pound. So realistically, it's 5 pounds plus the trimmings: lettuce, tomato, onion, pickles, classic. I thought it was 2 pound with all the other stuff. If it was just the 2 pound patty and then the like bacon, cheese, whatever, easy. I would handle it.
You could do it.
Not this.
Yeah. So what do you need off it?
Pound of bacon, pound of America. Just give me bacon and cheese, but a pound of bacon and a pound of cheese and a pound of fries? No shot. I could do a 2 pound. I could do
pros,
a pound
man.
Pound patty, no problem.
I mean, I'm not a bigger guy, but I could eat. You know, I don't eat carbs or I don't eat a lot of carbs. The carbs would kill me. Like the fries and the King's Hawaiian roll would kill me. But if it was just proteins and veggies and meat, I could do it.
Why don't you eat carbs?
Because I don't want to be big.
I just want to be me.
You were going to say fat. You were going to say
chubby.
Fat.
So what?
Chubby. Zaptic.
But do you work
mushy.
Out?
Yeah.
Carbs are important.
I didn't say zero.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I'm with you with that. Okay. Yeah. Well, when you said that, I thought you were like a non-carb guy, but you eat carbs.
Yeah.
Okay. white, right, like post workout carbs and stuff like that.
Like very, very few minimal low carb. Okay. No, like no starches, no breads, no breads, no breads.
Carb guy.
Could you guys? There's no mic over there. Yeah. Could you guys power chug liquids? Did you see the guy trying the lemonade, the 2 gallons of lemonade? With the just unstoppable vomit right after. He barely drank it, too.
I know.
Badlands Booker did it. 2 gallons in 21 seconds. He's looking at him trying to, you know, caress him. And caress is not the right word. But, you know, console him. And the guy's just like, like, dude.
Go somewhere. Why does he keep throwing up, like, right
I don't
out
think
front?
He can move.
He was moving. He was moving, but keeping his face facing forward right up towards
the
audience.
By the way,
you
want the answer to the question when he was going to say fat? He doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't want to be uncontrollable vomiter who weighs 340 pounds. Come on. Keep it together. It's an eating competition.
Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Willie, we had someone on the live video. They didn't text in. You can text these in. Suggestions. Willie's got a long ride coming up, like 30 hours worth. Wants a TV show with multiple seasons to kill the time. He watched Sopranos last year. 702-364-1100 is the Finley Kia text line. Someone suggested The Wire.
Did it.
Yeah, I love The Wire.
Wire's great.
But see, now that here's why that's a great suggestion. It's right up my alley, number one. Number two, I've seen it. So yeah. I don't have to worry about going, like, if all of a sudden it's a brand new show, looking down going, I gotta see that scene, or I got to go back and rewatch it, which still keep them coming in because I'm going to want to watch stuff while I'm up there. But the bottom line is, if it's something that maybe I've seen or glanced over, then that's good because I just got done with Oz.
Yeah.
I want to watch that again.
I won't even ever try to like steal a pack of gum again after watching Oz.
Scary. I don't think you go to the pen for stealing a pack
Nevertheless,
of gum.
Nevertheless, it's in my head.
I get your point. I was mentioning the lemonade chugger from last week on 4th of July, projectile vomiting all over the place, couldn't control it. The burger at Area 51. This is a legit MLE event, first time they're doing it. Wendy's and Major League Eating are partnering up for a July 26th event. I think everyone is going to have something in their head thinking what they can do in this. Chicken nugget eating contest. You got 8 minutes.
I mean, I've somehow devolved in my TikTok algorithm into some of these competitive
videos. Yeah, right.
Put on there. It's probably because I bring my phone in here and they're hearing you.
About
but chicken there are some nuggets. Incredible eaters out there that I think would put home 200? 200 nuggets? 300? A
what
lot.
Think?
In 8 minutes?
Yep.
Oh man, about 250.
Yeah,
not me.
We did 100. Adam did 100. What's going to be done in the competition?
What's going to
be the number to beat?
250.
Adam did 100 because of the Hakeem Olajuwon. There was a whole story about him doing 100 McNuggets, and we used the whole show to do it. Adam ate 100. I think someone else. You know what? I said it was Taylor Burton. It was Von Tobel did like 70 or something.
Yeah,
I did like 30.
My kids still remember that. My kids were in the studio that day. I had to run them by, and there's piles of chicken nuggets everywhere.
Yep,
and they were grabbing and eating chicken nuggets. They thought it was the great. Yep. They were super young then. That was the greatest thing. They always had like.
Best of.
Yeah.
We got to run that again.
Are you getting chicken nuggets when you go into the studio? But I think, I mean.
These people are animals in the MLE. So.
I saw this person eat an 8-pound burrito in 6 minutes.
Did you hear the intros at the hot dog eating contest? Like the poundage? Yeah. They like. Five of them had been in some strawberry shortcake thing, and there was like, it was like 15 pounds of 17 pounds of strawberry shortcake at some prior competition. I'm like, what?
Let me ask you a question. You told the story about the McNuggets last week, and you came up with the number 100, but you did it an entire show. What was the original off of what?
I think it was just, there was no time limit.
The original why you did it, there was. I thought it was like because someone did 100 in this
maybe
amount
an hour?
Of time.
No. He was shooting a commercial. And he did that. Hakeem Olajuwon was shooting a commercial for McDonald's.
Well, you really do
and he had
this.
To keep eating a chicken nugget
yeah, really
or chicken
this.
McNugget every time he had to do a take. And because he was kind of new to the country, he was having a difficult time with it, and he was there for hours. And they said, and he never complained.
I'm
he just kept
trying to figure out. So if you decrease every minute, right? Let's just say that someone a competitive eater could probably down what 50 in a minute.
I've seen people do 50 in a minute. Yes.
Okay, so let's go down 10 each minute.
Yeah.
Or 5. 50, 45, 40, and add that up to where you get to 8. I mean,
I talked to one of the contestants today via text, and they said they were going to do a test eat soon, and they were thinking they were going to target like 150 to 200, which I thought actually sounded kind of low.
Me too.
Which
I think
that
sounds
crazy.
Low.
I guess
that 200 nuggets in 8 minutes is low.
I mean, when Chestnut does 90 hot dogs, how much time does he have? Like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So 90 hot dogs. I mean, what's a hot dog? 6 nuggets?
Do you think nuggets? We gotta take a break here in a second. Let's go to break on this. Are nuggets in volume and speed? Are they actually harder or easier to eat versus the hot dogs? Because again, watching the competition and watching how they chomp through a hot dog and like 2 of them in 3 bites is insane.
Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So what do you think? What's harder to eat in a competition quickly? Chicken nuggets or hot dogs?
I think hot dogs because of the bread. I know they dip it in water. I know they dip it in water. You do have, depending on the breading, you might have some issue there, but it's greasy enough. It might slide down.
And eight minutes should keep the consistency of the crunch. Because
right.
That was our problem in the McNugget eating contest. Again, yeah. Wendy's, Major League Eating, July 26th. I think it's on Long Island. They're doing a Wendy's nugget eating contest. So,
and the nuggets at Wendy's, they're rectangular, not round, and they're not as fat as the one at McDonald's. But you asked about –
they're good, though. I like them.
Yes. If you have to pace yourself. It's kind of like, you know, if you're running like cross-country, you don't want to burst out and take the big lead. You want to pace yourself because somebody's going to burn themselves out, and then you go for the hard finish and try to slam like the last 50.
Would you dunk a nugget? Break down
no,
the breading?
No.
I think I might.
Can you imagine someone take – I wonder if that's against the rules because do they – I know they dip the hot dogs. If you –
because you're allowed water.
If you prepped hot dogs by just stuffing them in water to really break down the bread, like could you – I wonder if you could put all the nuggets in a 32-ounce cup and then after like whatever, 30 seconds, make them soggy and then start drinking them.
Oh, God.
I mean, you're not drinking them. You're taking a couple at a time.
I get it.
No,
what do you mean, oh, God? This is real sports.
I think I could probably put down like 30 and then I'd be like, no.
In 8 minutes?
30? Yeah.
That's pretty
impressive. What's the most wings you've eaten in one shot?
Maybe in the 25 range, something
like that.
Dude,
like I told you, the wing bowl, they're doing 450, 525.
Well, I know, but we're not in that.
I was just trying to put it in perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. So we're talking about competitive eating, and I wanted to transition to some of the athletes we're starting to see. You know, evolution.
Yeah.
I know everything was better in the 60s and the 80s, right? We're seeing bigger, stronger. All right, bigger, right? I can say that for sure. In football and basketball especially, baseball is getting – the pitchers are getting gargantuan too. And obviously a center fielder in Aaron Judge who is 6'7", 282 is – I don't think people process that. That is ridiculous.
Right.
Georgia just got a commit, Georgia football, from an offensive tackle prospect over Florida State and Mississippi State. He is 6'11", 330.
And he's built.
Like he's not fat and mushy. And he might be a project, but in terms – I mean – he carries 330 like it's nothing. And I was telling Willie during a break when just looking at him on the basketball court and his leg hitting the ground and like his thigh, and then he walks away and his calves, I'm like, holy crap, look at this guy. And he probably hasn't really even lifted weights much.
No, and he's clearly agile. He's clearly got footwork. I mean, he's their center. And he's
playing basketball.
Let's put this in perspective if you haven't seen this kid. Remember their last big monstrous but muscular recruit that everyone was marveling over.
Mm-hmm.
He happened to be from Desert Pines, tight end Darnell Washington, who also played basketball. And he was 6'7", 265. Mm-hmm. This dude dwarfs Darnell.
6'11", 330.
I mean, the one that I always remember as being like the biggest dude was Jonathan Ogden. That was like the biggest. Mm. And he was 6'6"?
6'8".
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's big.
6'8 and 320. And,
that's 30 years ago.
But he played basketball too.
Yeah.
So that gave him an advantage. Yeah, he's gigantic. I saw him at McCarran, I don't know, like a year ago, just walking around. Like, no one knows who he is, but I saw him. I was like, ooh, okay. He didn't shrink. Well, I mean, think about it in basketball now. We talked 2 weeks ago about a 7'9", 290-pound center freshman who went to IMG, so he's a real prospect. Olivier Rieu, but he's playing for the Gators, so we'll see how much playing time he gets. And then I think the most incredible one, if this woman can play, I don't know. She's 17. There's a Chinese woman, Zhang Jiu, 7'3". It is the size difference. Like, I'm trying to figure out how big the other women are. Like, I think they're 6'2", 6'3", when there's some of the women around her. And it's just like playing against infants.
I know.
Little kids and just dropping the ball in.
Just literally.
Just throw it.
Literally, she can drop it in.
No one can stop. No one can face guard her. Not face guard her, but front her. To stop a post entry, they just throw it high. She catches it, makes one step, and is, by the way, very fundamentally sound. I love the glass.
Okay.
She throws it off the glass.
She's on the Olympic team, yeah? Or no?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, okay.
That could be incredible.
She's on the under 18 women's Asia team. But she, Team Asia, but, and she's, I don't know how to word this, but she's not lanky. She's not like a teenager.
No.
She's not built like a teenager.
She's big.
She's built like a woman, right? Like, she looks like she's got muscle on her.
What do you think she weighs? 250 at least?
7'3"?
240?
Yeah.
At least 240.
At least 240.
7'3"?
Come on.
Size of the athletes now. It's crazy. And then Webanyama's like, yeah, you know, hold my ball. I'm going to go play two guard. I'm going to play small forward.
She was 5'2 in the first grade, according to Chinese state media.
Oh,
by sixth grade, she had reached 6'9".
All right, little guys, let's go play soccer now so that we can have a decent soccer team.
I was actually thinking of soccer, what the tallest players in soccer were. Like,
they're all tiny.
Why aren't there – could there be, like, an uber-athletic 7-footer?
Goalie, maybe.
I mean, the thing is, a cross on a corner is not, like, some automatic thing where it's like, oh, he's super tall. Of course he's gonna head in every goal. Like, you got to be on the mark. He's got to be able to get his head to the ball.
Well, I mean, he's got to run constantly.
Yeah.
it's like, you know – 10 miles of running in a game.
Did you go to Copa America?
I did not. I was in Dominican.
Oh, that's a good point. So what was your read on having the games here?
Yeah, so I watched the games from the Dominican, and I was watching it on Dominican TV or, you know, Caribbean or Latin American TV. It was in Spanish. And I have just enough Spanish comprehension that I can follow along on a TV show and see what's going on, and I can read the text. And it looked fun, and I mean, they do – when Copa America is going on or EuroCup or any of that stuff, their pregame shows are like our NFL Sunday shows. I mean, they go for 2 hours talking about all this stuff. And after the game, they go for another 2 hours, and they'll break up highlights of just – they just follow one player's entire interaction with the ball for the whole game, and they'll break it amongst all the other players. But anyway, in all of the pregame, all postgame, they were very complimentary of Allegiant Stadium. You know, they were talking about it being, you know, one of the best in the world to watch a soccer game. So looked from the outsider's perspective, looked fun. I wish I would have, you know, wish I'd have had some time to go. I would have liked to go.
It's kind of interesting when you go to the Caribbean, go to Mexico, you get kind of slammed in the face on how big soccer is. And there are 80 billion leagues.
Yeah.
And like, there's so many channels with soccer everywhere.
It's on every channel, and I mean, I was trying to find the channel to watch Copa America. There's all these channels of throwback games. They're throwing stuff from the 70s and 80s on all these other channels. I mean, there was like six channels of soccer happening, and it took me a little while to find the current one, the actual one.
So football is our thing here, American football. I think the Chiefs have had a really interesting offseason, and I'm not predicting something negative coming out of the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift relationship, but he's had a really busy summer. I don't know what that's going to mean for the Chiefs. Are you into this?
I'm not into it. I'm not a Swifty. I don't dislike the girl, but I found something interesting that it just triggered my thought yesterday. Was it yesterday? When did the Aces play? Yesterday. I went to go talk to Max Crosby after the game because I needed to talk to him about a project we're working on. And so, you know, I said, Max, I'm leaving in a few weeks. You're leaving in a few weeks, blah, blah, blah. I want to get this, blah, blah. He said, He goes, yeah, when are you trying to get this done? Can it be maybe in August? Because, man, I am slammed before we get down to California with my training regimen. I'm here early in the morning. I'm thinking, this dude is setting an example as a leader of the team. He's, you know, whether or not they have to be there mandatory or not, but your focus is on getting better. We talked earlier in the show of Asia Wilson's mentality. This has turned into the Travis Taylor Eras Tour. This dude's, I mean, hey, and you're the you're two-time Super Bowl champs. That's great and everything, but are you training? Are you getting ready for the season?
Max is going year-round with no free time, and Travis Kelce is doing this tour, and maybe he's working out on the road in Europe, in in Amsterdam. I don't know. I think he's contemplated retiring a couple of years in a row now. So,
I mean, he's
and he just saw his brother retire. So
they could do it. They could,
but he was good last year. It's not like he, you know. You're going to get him in fantasy unless I can block you. is this the year you're looking at, say, fantasy football, whatever, real football, fantasy football, and you're like, hey, you know what? This could be the year that he plays 12 games and has 50 catches for 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. This is a drop-off.
I don't know, man, because, I mean, he's been pretty open. I mean, you listen to his podcast and go to interviews. He's not a gym rat. He doesn't work. He doesn't lift weights. He said that. He doesn't lift weights. He doesn't lift any weights unless he's required to. He's never been that. I just wonder, you know, there was maybe a certain reputation about how much fun he liked to have before all of this happened. Is this offseason actually less chaotic from a health, nutrition, fitness standpoint than maybe what it normally would be like? I don't know. But I have to imagine that when he's going out to, you know, Europe to do these tours, that there is a billion things that Taylor Swift has to do that he can't be a part of. Yeah. And it's like,
Sound checks, rehearsals. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna get a workout in. I'm gonna do this.
Yes.
But at the same time,
and he's always there with another player.
And here's
almost
the thing. And here's the thing. I get it. And all due respect, they deserve a vacation. Every last one of them do. I'm sure Max took a vacation with his wife and a little girl. But they're going down to, I mean, training camp starts in a little bit here.
Yeah, but the Raiders also had an extra 3 or 4 weeks off that they didn't have to play when the Kansas City Chiefs have been playing.
Okay, well, welcome to the, you know, being the Super Bowl champion. If you want to be a three-time champ.
So what's your
prediction? They already are a three-time champ.
What's your conclusion here? What's going to happen?
I don't know if it is it too late in the summer to announce the retirement, but I was thinking the same thing. I mean, does he turn around and say, hey.
Great. Nah, he said I mean, he just signed a new deal.
Yeah, no,
he just signed a new deal. He's the highest paid tight end.
Make Taylor happy. Enough of the football, Travis. It's time to walk.
The Kelce and Kelce show.
You did it all.
He said he's going to play until the wheels fall off. That's what he said. That was his quote.
Well,
he said he just loves playing the game.
Not rooting for it, but
he's just going to play until the wheels
fall
off. If the wheel fell off, it wouldn't be like really
did Taylor say, listen, I flew all over the place, and I came in from Japan to get to Vegas. You better come on this tour with me.
Oh, come on, no.
He's laying the smackdown. Here we go.
I mean, wouldn't that be, like, who wouldn't want to do all of that? You know, get to go to
he's
places,
having a great time. I'm just
like Singapore, London, and
I'm
Dublin.
I'm busting chops, but the bottom. But it was one of the first things I thought of when Max said, man, Willie, just text me. We'll figure it out. But my training schedule is crazy. And it could just be him. He could just be going completely over it because Max is, you know, he's insane about his training. And he's, let's put it this, let's be real. That's also an outlet for him through recovery.
Yeah.
You know, so he's always going to be attending meetings. He's always going to be thinking about his addiction. So that's also, and we're not too far removed from that. That's just a few years ago where he hit rock bottom, depression, and chemical dependency. So it could be where he's just, that's his focus and that's his thing.
Last 30 seconds. Their win total is 11.5. They've actually, I think they had 8 years in a row where they went over the win total with Andy Reid, and the last 2 of 3, they've gone under. It's 11.5, though, in a 17-game season.
No, they didn't go over 2 of the last 3 years. They pushed in 2022. So they've one over, one under, and one push the last 3 years.
Okay.
Well, 11.5.
With the weird offseason they had.
I know, but I like the moves they made in the offseason. I think
they
like the
moves. They did seem to bolster the wide receiving core, which they needed to.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm gonna say under 11. They're going to do 11,
really?
11 wins again.
Pretty setting the tone. All right. Well, get that bid ready because that was just that whole 5 minutes I just spent was trying to depress the value of Travis Kelce. So I'm getting him.
No way.
I'm getting him.
There's too many Chiefs fans in that league.